to see young folks that love the Lord and aren't ashamed to say it, to get up and give glory to his name. Miss Serenity, and she left yet. I wish I'd have done that good the first time I preached, amen. I tell you, what a blessing. I know Donnie and Donna's proud. And I don't know about y'all, but no matter what you go through, when you pray in Jesus' name, them circumstances can change. Can I get an amen? He is a mighty God. This morning, if you got your Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to start out there. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9. And we're going to start looking at verse 11, but we're going to primarily just preach from verse 22. And I don't know about y'all, but as we approach Resurrection Sunday, yes, Jesus rose from the dead. But I don't know if you ever pay attention, but if you look, this week is called the Passion Week. Today would traditionally be called Psalm Sunday. It's the day that he rode into Jerusalem victoriously. And it's amazing to me that the first day of the week, they were praising him. Hosanna to his name. Everyone was wanting to make him king. But by Thursday, he had been betrayed, falsely accused and arrested, brought before Pilate. And his own people who praised him on this day as their king would cry out, "Crucify him." And never forget that before Jesus could rise from the dead, he had to first die and be buried. And I want us to look today at why was it so important that Jesus die on the cross? And I don't know if you ever looked and paid much attention, but God has said this, not me, but without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And we sing them old songs, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Have you ever really thought about that? That's a biblical truth. That's not just something we sing. And then one of my favorites, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." You know, we sing it in the old hymn books, and we probably never ever truly look in the Bible and study and learn where that comes from. You know, a good question to ask yourself this morning is, have you been to Jesus in the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because that's the only way you will ever find yourself reconciled and made right with God. In all of history, from the beginning of creation, the Bible says was looking to the day when the Lamb of God, the Son of God himself, would die and shed his blood for the sins of the world. And that's what would be coming and happening at the end of that week. I want you to think about this with me as we read verse 22 together. The Bible says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." When you look at what the Hebrew writer's telling, he's trying to convince Jewish believers who had embraced Christ, and because of persecution and whatever are the reasons, they were turning back to Judaism and forsaking Christ. And he's reminding them that Jesus brought a better sacrifice, that he's a better covenant. And if you look with me here in verse 11, look at what it says. It says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come." Thank God we're not still in the Old Testament, amen? We're in the age of grace. And he came, it says in verse 12 right there, "not with the blood of bulls, of goats, and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Look at verse 13. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purity of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse and save us?" I want you to think about this. I didn't come up with this there. I don't know why God did it, but I want to show you biblically where we get the belief. Someone said that Christianity is a bloody religion, that the Bible is a bloody book. You take away the blood of Jesus, we have nothing. And I want you to think about this. In Leviticus, the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. And look at that last part of it. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. God determined this. Why would it take shedding of innocent blood to forgive a sinful creature like us of our sin? Well, if you look at the first part of that verse, I think you can look and find more of it in the Bible also. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you take the blood from the flesh will lose its life. Have you figured that out? And I want you to think about this. When Jesus asked his apostles, who do people say that I am? And Peter got it right for once and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He says flesh and blood. That's what the Bible calls us. Paul, when he's writing to us in Corinthians and explaining to us the wrestling of the spiritual warfare that in, he says, for our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but spiritual principles and papalities in the heavenly places. And I want you to look at this with me. Hold your place right here. We're going to flip right back. Flip back to chapter 2 of this book. And I want you to see something. Jesus had to become, the Bible says, flesh and blood to be able to do what he did for us on the cross. If you look back with me in chapter 2, look at verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's what we are right now, flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Look at what it says in verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren. So God gave Jesus a body of flesh and blood. And Jesus came and he shed that blood. He gave that body as a willing sacrifice. That's called blood atonement. And if you ever pay attention in the Bible, atonement, the biblical doctrine that God has reconciled sinners to himself through the sacrificial work of Jesus on the cross, you'll see if you look, and I'm going to show you today, that the doctrine of blood atonement, which points everywhere in the Bible to death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world, it spans the entire Bible. It didn't start in the New Testament. It didn't start in the Gospels. I want you to think about the first time you see the shedding of blood. It doesn't say it, but this is an amazing thing. If you was to do a word search, the word blood appears in the King James Bible 424 times. If you were one who studies doctrines, well, in the Bible, 424 times is more than some of the major doctrines that we all say and believe all the time. As a matter of fact, the word blood is in 357 verses. That's a lot. So blood is very important to the Bible. I want you to think about this. Blood is intimately associated with physical life. Blood and life are closely associated together. Therefore, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and God came and they realized their sin, they were shameful and they hid from God. And God said, what have you done? And what had to happen? The first thing you see is that God had to kill an innocent animal to provide skins to cover their nakedness, which was shown in their sinfulness by shame and guilt. So that innocent animal lost its life to cover sin. But guys, from there, you see an ongoing progression of blood atonement and sacrifices throughout the Bible. Do you know the next time you see a death in the Bible is a human? And it's the first time that you see blood referenced in the Bible. Do y'all know when that was? It was when Cain killed his brother Abel. The first time that human blood was shed was the first time that humans outside of Adam and Eve committed a sin that's shown to us in the Bible. And from there you see that sacrifice was a requirement to worship God, to be able to come before God. And you're going to see that in Christ, every one of these sacrifices, these blood atonement examples are fulfilled in him. The next one I want you to remember is the one that the night that Jesus was arrested was the day of the preparation for the Passover. Jesus died on the Passover. Do you think that's an accident? Do you think it's an accident that the Passover was the exact time that Jesus was put on the cross? And Jesus, we know, died during the Passover festival of the Jews. The Passover, everyone knows what it is, but I just want to remind you, the Passover was the Jewish celebration of how God delivered them from Egypt when Moses was sent. After 9 plagues, Pharaoh had not let the people go. And so God told Moses to go tell the people to kill a lamb, an innocent lamb, without blemish, without spot, a perfect specimen of an innocent lamb, the best one they probably have in their possession. Take it into their house and kill it. Take the blood and put it over the doorpost and over the mantle. And tonight, when God comes, he's going to judge Pharaoh and the Egyptian people. And when God comes, when he sees that blood, the death angel will pass over you and your family. And that was done, and they were delivered, and Pharaoh's wicked heart broke, and he let them go. And so they were given that to do. They had been doing that. Jesus himself, the Bible says, in John, when he was 12 years old, they were going up to Jerusalem, as was their custom yearly, to go and keep the Passover. Jesus had kept many Passovers, but the one that's approaching is going to be the last Passover necessary. It's going to be the time when the first Lord's Supper is going to be commemorated, that we will be practicing in just a few moments. But guys, not only did they have the Passover and that blood sacrifice, but after the Passover, God gave them the law. They left from Egypt and they go to the Mount Sinai, where God gave them the Ten Commandments, and he gave Moses the law and the what? Levitical priesthood, the sacrificial system. And through that, they also had another high holiday called the Day of Atonement. That's what the Hebrew writer is writing about in the passage we're looking at in Hebrews. He's reminding them that those sacrifices, though they were sufficient for the day when they were given, were always pointing to this day when Jesus would give his life. The blood of animals could never take away our sins. They could cover it, but they were pointing to the one who would. And friends, listen, the Day of Atonement was a day when once a year, everyone gathered in Jerusalem, and the high priest would take sacrifices from everybody as they come and gave a sin offering for the sins of their family. And then they would take one goat or one sheep, and they would sacrifice it for the atonement of the people. And for another year, their sins were looked over. And that blood sacrifice, which was at the Day of Atonement, was for the sins of the nation and everybody. Now, during your life, during this, if you got in sin, you were able to go, because every day the high priest and the priesthood were sacrificing to keep what? To keep the temple clean, to keep the ministry of their priesthood and themselves clean, and they were shedding blood. That's also what he's talking about here. And if you got in sin, you know what you did? You went, you got an animal, you brought it to the priest, and you gave it as a blood sacrifice. All of that was pointing to what we're looking at now. And I want you to think about this. Jesus is, though, the Lamb of God. All those sacrifices, I was reading about Passover and Easter. It's no accident God, when he crucified his son for all the world to see, his plan of salvation, his way of making us forgiven, he did it on the Passover. Did anyone know how many Jews it is believed was in Jerusalem during the Passover? It was the highest holiday of the year. And every Jew that was able went to Jerusalem to spend time with their kinfolks, if they did, or to get a place and room to stay, and they would get a lamb, an innocent lamb. He was to be bought and taken into that home on the 10th day. He sat amongst them for 4 days, and on the 14th day, the preparation day, the day that Jesus was put on the cross, the preparation day, every Jew in Jerusalem took that innocent little animal. Now, some of you are animal lovers, amen? Can you imagine telling your family you think Christmas is hard with a kid? All right, we brought the little lamb in. He's so pretty. Don't name him. What you mean we got to kill him? Yeah, I know. We're not only going to kill him, we're going to eat him. Because that's what God told us to do. And that little bitty lamb in front of all them kids would be slaughtered. And then they would tell them that the reason we do this is because when we were slaves, when we were in Egypt, when God delivered us, he used the blood of a little lamb like this. Friends, that little lamb was pointing to the lamb. The Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Listen to what the Bible says. But you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained from the foundation of the world. From the moment God, before he ever even created it, before the foundation, it was foreordained by God that Jesus, his son, would be the Lamb of God, and his perfect sinless life would pay the price to redeem us, to atone for us, and make us where we could be reconciled with the holy God. When Adam and Eve sinned, when they were going out of the garden with those skins upon them as a representation of the sacrifice that it would take to cover those sins, to remove those sins, God wasn't up there saying, what am I going to do now? The moment they left paradise, the Garden of Eden, the cross was already on the horizon of God's plan and purpose for creation. It was not a plan B. It was always planned for us to be saved and redeemed by Jesus. I want you to think about this. Jesus comes, and here he is. He's God's son. And he's perfect and he's doing nothing when you read about him. And do you think it's an accident that he was crucified on the Passover day? And all the things that God used to show us that, yes, it is by the blood of my son Jesus and him alone that you can be saved, you can be forgiven. Friends, I don't know what you believe and trust in for eternity, but I'm here to tell you, when we all stand before Jesus, the only thing we're going to have to be able to say is, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for you paid it all. You're the only reason we can go to heaven. I want you to think about this. When Jesus was crucified, when he was put on the cross, from all of creation and even before, it had already been foreordained for God. Yes, we ought to celebrate his birth, but he didn't tell us to remember that. Yes, we ought to celebrate everything else he did in between and look at the life he lived and the things he did and the awesome beauty of who Christ was and is. And when he lived among us, the great example he set. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you imagine the glory of seeing God in the flesh? But he never told us to remember his miracles. He never told us to remember all of his sermons, although they're in the Word of God for us to study. He didn't tell us even to remember his resurrection. He said to remember my death. Remember my sacrifice. Remember that I shed blood for you and I gave my body for you. This is what he personally told us to remember. And guys, yes, it is a wonderful thing that he was born of the Virgin Mary and conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he lived a sinless life, and all of that was necessary for his sacrifice to be able to be acceptable, to be given in a way to pay for our sins. Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he didn't have original sin that we all have from Adam. And because he was conceived and born in the womb of a little virgin girl named Mary, he was flesh and blood like one of us. And guys, never ever think that the virgin birth isn't important, that it's something that has to be part of the story. And then from there, he lived a sinless life. You may not believe that, but he did. Because if he ever committed one sin, his death on the cross would not have been sufficient to save one of us, much less all of us. But because he was sinless, he was perfect, he was a lamb without blemish and without spot, that blood was precious that God used to redeem us. And it is so powerful even today that not only does it save us, but it cleanses us. Last week, what did we look at the end of that sermon? It says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us from our sins and all unrighteousness. It says that when we confess our sins, we have fellowship with him and one another, and his blood, what? Cleanses us. Right now, the blood of Jesus is the only reason we can stand before him. We can call on him. It's constantly the thing that takes away our sins. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Man, that ought to make a Baptist sing. That ought to make anybody got Jesus in their heart. This morning, get excited, because I'm going to tell y'all, I need a lot of washing. How about you? I'm dirty. I'm stinking. I'm unholy. I'm full of all kinds of stuff that I know God would never, ever be able to look at, much less allow into his holy presence. But when I get to go, first thing I'm going to do is say, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Do you know when you look in Revelations and you get a picture of what's going to be going on when the church is all gathered together after the rapture, in chapters 4 and 5, there's a worship service going on. And what are they doing? They're praising the Lamb of God for his blood that he shed for us. Even then, friends, listen, we forget how important the sacrifice was of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And he didn't want us to forget. And I believe that's part of the reason the Bible tells us to constantly do things as much as we need to take this communion together in remembrance of what he did for us. I want you to think about this with me here for a moment. The Bible says, but you were redeemed. That's the price that it took to atone for you, to pay the price with the precious blood of Christ. All of it would have been in naught if it hadn't got to the point on that cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, the last two things he says is that Jesus, when he looked upon him after all that struggle and all of that, what he went through, the Bible says that he says, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit and he died. Yes, they took him down. They put him in a borrowed tomb. And we want to celebrate that he didn't stay in there. Can I get an amen? But guys, I want you to think about this. Without the suffering, without the crucifixion, without the death, there could be no resurrection. And the fact that he was raised from the dead is the quintessential proof that he was who he said he was and that he had done what he came to do. If he'd have committed one sin, he wouldn't have rose from the dead. He'd have stayed dead. He was sinless. That's why he could be raised from the dead. And I don't know about y'all. I don't want a Savior that sins like me. I want one that's better than me. Amen. Jesus was that perfect lamb without blemish, without spot, that was foreordained from the beginning of the world. And this is what the Bible says. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. How do you receive that grace? The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. Is that not of ourselves? It is a gift of God. You can't earn grace. How do you receive this grace? You believe in it by faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace. Grace, how did that grace, well, how was it provided? Through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. He died for me, he died for you, and anybody who will believe in enough to call on his name. This morning, this communion that we're fixing to celebrate together is for everybody who has called on the name of Jesus, who believes in the power of his blood, who has confessed their sins, has trusted in him as Lord and Savior, and has been redeemed by his blood. You get to be able to do this in remembrance of him, and you get to drink of the cup for the shed blood, and you get to take of the bread in remembrance of the body that he had that was broken for you. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. My question this morning is, Do you know him? Are you washed in his blood? You know, the Bible tells us on that night in Luke chapter 22, it says, when the hour had come, Jesus sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And Jesus did something. He changed the Passover. If we understood it the way the Jews did, it would blow our mind. Jesus, during that meal, as they were taking that Passover together, he took the cup, but he didn't take it in the traditional way that they brought. He says, this cup is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins in the new what covenant. He says, this bread is my body broken for you, given for you. I can't imagine how shocking that had to be to those apostles as they looked and said, what is he doing? They didn't understand it any more than they understand he was hours, moments from the cross. Even when he died on the cross, they didn't get it. But friends, they got it when he rose from the dead and they seen him. And this is what he told them to do. According to even Apostle Paul, who seen him late after even the ascension, I'm here today to tell you that this Jesus who died for you now today lives for you. He is alive, and he right now, because of what he did for you, not only because he loves you, but because he died for you, because he shed his blood for you, he will save you, my friend. But I'm also here to tell you that there is no other way under heaven and earth that we can be saved but through the shed blood of Jesus and by calling on his name. The Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. And a lot of people look at that and say, oh, that's just so hard to believe. But those of us who have believed in it knows the power of his cross. And I want you to think about this. He told the church in Corinth, Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he had and told us to do the Lord's Supper. Today, as our musicians come forward, we're going to take this in a little while. If you didn't get one, hold your hand up and someone will bring it to you. But before we do that, I want you to understand something. We tend to think sometimes, and the reason I think the danger of doing it all the time and every Sunday, like some churches do, that's there. You have freedom and grace to do that. But we need to understand something, that this is a lot of significance. This is a very wonderful, serious thing. You know what? After he gave them the order of how to do this, Paul said, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of his body and his blood of the Lord. How do you take this in an unworthy manner? That's a good question, amen? Well, first of all, I think you should take it realizing for true what it stands for. It stands for that Jesus paid the price so that you could be saved. The first thing is to understand that this represents the blood of the Son of God, the Lamb who shed his blood for you, and his body, the bread, represents the body that was broken, that was beaten. By his stripes on that body, we are healed, the body says, Bible says, all of that. But I'm going to tell you something else. You see, it's not just given to us to forgive us of sin so that we can die and go to heaven. Thank God that's it and it's done. But it was given to you also to deal with our sin every day. It is by the blood of Jesus that our sins are taken care of and cleansed. And guys, we still have to depend on the blood to be saved. It's not by our works, it's by his grace. And when we are living outside of the grace of God and in opposition, and you have an opportunity right now, and it's as easy as this. If you confess your sins, he's faithful, the Lord Jesus, according to 1 John 1:9, to forgive you of your sins. And not only to forgive you, he's not talking to lost people, or he's talking to saved people. And John says that God is faithful, Jesus is faithful, to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You see, we're never ever right with God because we're good. We're always right with God because his blood shed and cleansed us. On our best day, our most righteousness we can have is like filthy rags apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. And friends, but through him, no matter what we've done, no matter how much we may have made a mistake and failed, if we'll just humble ourselves, confess it, and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. He's faithful if you believe in him. Today, the first thing I'm going to ask you before we do this morning is, do you know him? Are you saved? If you're not saved today, I'm going to invite you to come forward. We're going to have a time of invitation first. And as we have the time of invitation, it's for anybody who may want to come up here and say, I want to be saved. You know, to be ashamed of him, he says, is enough for him to be ashamed of you. Jesus said, if we confess him before man, he will confess us before his Father. But if we deny him before man, he will deny us before his Father. Guys, I don't know of anything that would be more unworthy than to take of this and celebrate this and not even be willing to publicly say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He's my Savior. Because what we're doing when we do this is we're proclaiming his death, the Bible says, till he comes. That this is what we know makes us right with God. This is our atonement. This is our redemption. And so today, I'm going to ask you if you're lost. I'm going to stand here. We're going to sing a couple songs. And I want to tell you what, that there's not a person here I know that loves the Lord, that's saved, that's not going to be celebrating if you step out. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. If you need Jesus, what a better day than to get saved, the Sunday before the resurrection Sunday. And today, if there's something, I had to get on my knee. I had to pray to God this week to preach this. Say, Lord, I'm not worthy to preach this. And the Lord said, no, you're not. But by blood, when you rightly understand that that's the only reason you can preach it is because of what Jesus did. And I, like anybody else, said, Lord, what I know in my life, I'm sorry for, and what I don't know, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. That's all you do. And guys, listen, when you do that, at that moment, when you realize, how many of you here hasn't had something you shouldn't have thought about, something you shouldn't said, something you might even done this week? Because a week's a long time to not mess up. And we're sinners saved by grace, friend. And so as you do that, when you say, Lord, I'm confessing my sinfulness. I'm asking you to forgive me of that thought or that deed or of how I felt. And Lord, I know I'm unworthy, but Lord, because you were worthy, your death on the cross, your blood makes me worthy and you cleanse me, Lord. When you do that, I'm going to tell you what, when you take this supper, it has new meaning. Can I get an amen? It has significance again. And that's why every time we do this, it's an examining of ourselves. Listen what Paul said about taking the Lord's Supper. If you want to look at it later, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So we need to examine ourselves. And listen what he says. This is what we're doing. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not ashamed to proclaim that my only hope is that Jesus died for me. And I'll proclaim his death till the day he comes or calls us home. That's what we're doing today together. So I want us to have a time of invitation. If you need to come, if you want to come to the altar, maybe you want to do it there. And I'm going to give everybody a time of doing whatever you need to do. I'm going to be standing up here, and I'm here to receive you if you want to come for salvation, if you want me to come and pray with you. And I know what the devil will do. He'll make you think, oh, no, everybody's looking. I'm going to tell you what. There's freedom here because we all know it's by grace alone that any of us can take what we're doing here in a minute. So I want to, as we pray, what you going to play, Miss? Would you stand? Father in heaven, I do pray for anybody in need of your help. That right now, Lord, as we come thinking about this week, Lord, when you showed up, Lord, we praised you. We said you were the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But Lord, by the end of the week, your own people crucified you. And yet you went for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you. So help us now, Lord, to go for you. If we need to come forward today and someone needs to be saved, help them to do that. And for those of us, Lord, who need to do business with you, help us to do that also. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready as we look and examine our hearts, Lord, we come before you. Listen what the Bible says. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And if you'll take your bread, he took the bread, and the Bible says, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived that sinless life, who displayed your glory, but Lord, in the end, went to Calvary, took the scourgings and the beatings and bore the stripes that brings our healing. And Lord, we thank you for him and for his broken body. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Father, we thank you for the cup that represents the blood of our Savior. Thank you for its cleansing power. Thank you, Lord, for how it's working in our lives, even as we speak. And Lord, we thank you, God, that he was willing to go to the cross for in our stead and shed his blood. And we do proclaim his death. And we give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. And then it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You know, it's wonderful next week to celebrate Easter. A lot of people don't like to call it that. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday, because that's what we're celebrating. But guys, we need to also remember that most people who will be around does not know what we just celebrated. They don't understand it. They can't even do it. And that's why it's so important that we don't emphasize bunnies and baskets, though my mama's going to have me a basket, and I'm not ashamed of it. But we're going to also celebrate that Jesus died for us. He was buried. But next Sunday, boy, we're going to be celebrating that he rose from the dead. But today, this week, take time to take your Bible, the Passion Week, and look at what's going on, the confrontation between him and the religious leaders and how it was all working. And then come Thursday, how he will be arrested. He will be falsely tried all of his apostles will deny him and flee and leave him. He will go. He will be falsely accused. He will be Friday nailed to the cross. Saturday, their worship day, the last day of the week, the great day of the week, and the highest Sabbath of the year, the Passover Sabbath, Jerusalem was filled with Jews who had just sacrificed their Passover lamb to celebrate their deliverance and how God had delivered them. And their Savior, their Messiah, was buried in a borrowed tomb. And they didn't even know it. The next day, his apostles and a few women went to check on his body. And when they got there, they were even surprised he wasn't there. And here it is, God's Son, our Messiah, raised from the dead, and the whole town, city of Jerusalem didn't even know it. You know the sad thing? Some of it hasn't changed a whole lot, has it, Brother Jonathan? We're going to go this evening, and we're going to go do our Love Out Loud ministry. And we're going to show up here at 4 o'clock, and we're going to go into homes, and you know what we're going to give them? We're going to give them crafts that the kids made last Wednesday. That's all about the resurrection of Jesus and the celebration. And you know, when we go give them, we're going to tell them we love them. But you know what we're also going to tell them is Jesus died for you and he lives for you. So I hope you'll take that this year and spread that, because that's what matters in the end to people who are not saved and ready for eternity. Would you pray with me? Brother Sam's going to come and he's going to share some announcements, and then he's also going to pray over our offering. But I want to pray first for this. Father, we just thank you for the privilege to be here today, to be able to partake of this awesome experience, to share communion with one another, and more importantly with you. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have because of the resurrection. Help us this year to share that, to give that away, to be a walking, talking witness that Jesus is our Savior, that he died for our sins and lives now as our Lord. And Lord, we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.